What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Black Corporate Life Podcast, where we're breaking the silence and revealing the unwritten rules and hidden truths that govern corporate America. I'm your host, James Friesen. In this groundbreaking series, we're leaving no stone unturned. Join us as we champion authenticity and transparency and bring these topics front and center, one episode at a time. In today's episode, we'll highlight some of the things you need to know about your health as a Black professional in corporate America. This is an episode you don't want to miss. Our guest today is Dr. Kimberly Pryor, who is a medical doctor with over 20 years experience in practicing medicine. She is a graduate of Michigan State University, where she earned a Bachelor of Science degree in physiology and a Doctor of Osteopathic Medicine. Kim completed her residency at St. John Detroit Riverview Hospital, as well as a fellowship for hospitalist leaders at the University of California, San Francisco. She is also a former assistant professor of medicine at Emory Healthcare and currently works as a healthcare administrator for an insurance company. Now, I've known Kim and her husband Malcolm for only a short time after a chance meeting at a bike shop here in Atlanta. I'm super excited that she's come to share her knowledge and experience with us today. Kim, welcome to the show.
Hey, James. Thank you so much. That was a great intro.
Thank you. Thank you for being here. I really appreciate your time. And I think this is going to be a fantastic show with a lot of knowledge for our guests, our listeners. But before we jump in, though, I do have something very important I need to share for all of our listeners. The information provided on our show should not be used for diagnosing or treating a health problem or disease. And those seeking personal medical advice should consult with a licensed physician. Always seek the advice of your doctor or other qualified health provider with any questions you may have regarding your health or medical condition. Now that we got that out of the way, Kim, thanks again for being here. And to kick us off, why don't you start by just telling us a little bit about your career and how you got to where you are today?
Well, thank you again for having me, for seriously getting me out of my box. Thank you again.
You're welcome.
It's been a journey. It has been, by God's grace, basically, it started with my mom and my sister, who were nurses. And I grew up in a environment of all kind of medical books around the house, a lot of talk about patient care, things like that. It went on from there. When I got to high school, I originally majored in accounting and loved it. But I had a curiosity about science. And my science classes, even though I struggled in them, I loved it, absolutely loved it. So my sophomore year, I actually changed my major to pre-med. I went on from there to MSU. I went on to med school, and every step kind of seemed to more or less confirm the previous step. So I felt like I was on the right path. Got to med school, and my mom had a major stroke, and I left school, went home for a couple months, and really was starting to doubt, what should I do? Because my mom was my world. So I was like, okay, is this a sign? Do I stop and just help my dad take care of her? What do I do? And my mom, just being who she was like, no, don't you dare stop. I've raised you to be strong. I've raised you to persevere and keep going. So with tears in my eyes, I drove myself back on up to school and continued on my journey. It was during my residency training that I discovered hospital medicine. And that's basically a specialty where you take care of essentially hospitalized patients. It's all acute care. And that's where I got my interest. Got connected with a recruiter, and they got me an interview, got the job. And essentially, before becoming an administrator, my entire career has been a hospitalist. And I absolutely loved it. Absolutely loved it. And the only reason I kind of transitioned out of hospital medicine is because with hospital medicine, you work holidays, you work nights, you work days, you work long days, and I was starting to get burnt out. And what pushed me even further over the edge was COVID. When COVID hit, I, including my colleagues, had never seen anything like this. And that really just mentally and physically just took me just, I said, no, I got to switch gears. And so started talking to some colleagues and more or less figure out what can I do and still use all of my training. And that's where I found my current calling as an administrator for a insurance company. But that's more or less my story.
Awesome. So quick question for you. You mentioned that there were medical books around the house as a result of your mom and your sister. Were they also in healthcare?
They were nurses.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it. So what made you decide to go into medicine? You mentioned you made the switch your sophomore year in college. Like, what drove that decision?
You know, my science courses were just so interesting to me. Again, I struggled. My grades were not as good in the science courses as they were in the math courses and the accounting classes, but it just intrigued me. It challenged me. And I knew I loved it. I loved it. And that's, I had always been a curious kid, always wanted to figure out how things worked. And that was right up my alley.
So being a Black woman, Black doctor, what are some of the major health issues that impact Black people in general?
In my career, some of the top things that I have seen and treated have been by far a lot of heart disease, a lot of diabetes, lots of strokes, like I said, including my mom, cancer, COVID-19, obesity. These are the things that I've seen in my career treating the majority of African-American patients.
Interesting. What about like diabetes, or as my grandmother would say, sugar-beaties?
Sugar, right. Sugar. They get that sugar. Yeah. And, you know, a common misconception, you hear people talk about, oh, they got that sugar, but they don't understand what that really means. They think that, okay, you had too much soda, you had too much of this, but they don't understand the long-term consequences. And I've heard patients say over and over, well, you know, I took a little teaspoon of sugar to get my sugar up. It's a misconception that the sugar is low when it's actually too high and needs to be brought down. That's where the education comes in for our patients. And that's where I always encourage, ask questions, ask questions, ask until you understand beyond a shadow of a doubt, because it's so many misconceptions and just confusion and think you understand, but you don't. But ask questions until you absolutely understand everything you need to understand. And believe me, we as physicians, we will talk to you, we'll talk to your family members. That's part of what we're here for, to educate as well.
So when you think about these health conditions that you talk about, is there a difference for Black professionals who have more of a sedentary job or occupation and you're usually seated for most of the day, putting in 60, 70, 80 hours a week? Does it change based on that?
Oh, for us, absolutely. Absolutely. It's compounded. African-Americans, we're already at risk for those disease processes, heart disease, diabetes, stroke. And sedentary jobs and lifestyle increases mortality as well as risk for hypertension, diabetes, and heart disease. So it's compounded for us for sure. That's part of the education, to know that, that sedentary job, including myself now, because I work from home, I have to stay active. I have to be even more vigilant about being active because of that increased mortality associated with it.
When you add or layer on top of that, the everyday workplace stress that we go through, the microaggressions, discrimination, that kind of thing that we experience in corporate America, how does that impact your health as well?
Oh my gosh, tremendously, tremendously. Stress can actually make you feel ill. You can stress yourself to, I'll keep it in simple terms, to the point where you feel like you have a cold, where you're just worn out. Also, lack of sleep can do that. People who say, you know, they don't need 8 hours of sleep, whatnot. Yeah, you do. You do. You need to rest. You need to exercise. You need to find ways to relieve that stress. That stress can take you out of here, mentally and physically.
When you think about that, so we've got the long hours, the sedentary job, the extra work stress that comes with it. And then for a lot of Black professionals, we have other responsibilities too. We're taking care of extended family, all types of stuff going on outside of work, volunteering, what have you. How do you maintain a focus on your health with all that going on?
Great question. Great question. I'm challenged myself sometimes. One thing that I think about that I have found to be helpful is to have an accountability partner who will call you out. Okay, did you work out today? Are you going to work out today if you didn't? When are you working out next? What are you eating? How's your sleep? Seriously. Also, you can stay focused, more or less, again, educating yourself. Educating, if you understand what's going on with your body, it's easier for you to be compliant with follow-ups, with taking medication, whatever treatment regime that your doc recommends. But if you don't understand, what diabetes is, you're like, oh, well, you know, some patients will tell you, I don't feel like I need that medicine. My great-grandfather, he had diabetes. He didn't take his medicine. He lived to be 90. But you have to educate yourself. You need to understand, again, what causes whatever this process is. What causes high blood pressure? What causes heart disease? What can I do to prevent it? What's the treatment? And again, I think when you understand, that helps you to take more of an active role in your care.
Black Corporate Life is a leadership training and development company focused on empowering Black professionals to thrive in corporate America. We provide classes, coaching, and an online community of like-minded individuals to help Black men and women in corporate America reach their full potential. Join our online community at bclalliance.com. So in addition to having an accountability partner, even more important than that, you need to have a healthcare provider. And so what are some of the things that we need to think about when you're trying to select or find a healthcare provider?
Great question. Again, I can't say that it is a all-in-one answer for everyone, meaning everybody's different depending on their health issue. You got a healthy person who really has no health issues, they probably only need to go to the doc once a year. Versus you got somebody who has high blood pressure, diabetes, and they've had a stroke, they need more close follow-up. One thing that I've seen in my experience is not only for me, but for patients, colleagues, they look for providers and appreciate providers that may be associated with a teaching facility. And when I say teaching facility, academic institution, for example, here in Atlanta, you have Emory Healthcare. They're big on teaching. Teaching, you can think of also in a way where a hospital clinic has residents. Residents are more or less doctors in training. I say teaching facilities because they tend to have providers that stay up to date because medicine is always changing. Teaching facility, when I think about a provider, I would like somebody who's ideally been practicing for at least 10 years. They're not a newbie, but they're also not burnt out. They're still enjoying medicine. For me, ideally, yeah, I'd love to have all African-American physicians. And quite honestly, here in Atlanta, that's where I have seen the most African-American physicians in my entire career. And I love it. I love it. Lastly, who rules the world? Women. It's a study that shows, seriously, it's a study that shows that female doctors provide better care and have better patient outcomes. And it has to do with communication. Teaching facility, practicing at least 10 years, female. And again, ideally for me, I enjoy having African-American providers for my care.
That's all part of that Black girl magic that you're talking about.
There you go.
Yes.
There you go.
Yeah, I hear you. So when you think about going to the doctor, because doctors have different personalities. Some have better bedside manners, are willing to listen and be patient, answer your questions, and others not so much. When you think about that, what rights do we have as patients going in to seek care?
We have the right to a second opinion. If you disagree or you, for whatever reason, you have a consultation, they tell you you need to have open heart surgery, and this blows your mind, and you don't know how we get to that point, you can ask for a second opinion. That's your right. You have a right to your medical records, every piece of your medical records. That is your right to receive those. You have a right to refuse treatment. If you feel like you're recommended to have surgery or XYZ, you have the right to refuse that treatment. You have a right to pain medicine, treatment for pain. This is a hot button issue with African-American patients. That's a whole another segment.
Yes, it is.
And finally, you have the right to be treated with respect and dignity.
Got it. So I'm going to write that down, make sure I keep that list with me whenever I go see the doctor. In terms of the doctor, what questions should we be asking our doctor? I heard about this medical checklist. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Oh, my medical checklist. My husband is, he will go to the doc. There's no problem going to the doctor. He actually likes to go to the doctors because he's an extrovert who thinks he's an introvert. So he likes to go and talk. But he gets there and they ask him, so what brings you in? And I promise you, he will tell them, my wife sent me. He doesn't remember his medical history. He doesn't remember his medicine. He's just like, I don't know. He told me I need to come in. So what I did for him, I created a medical history checklist or template of sorts for him to give to the doctor. So it's kind of twofold. It has his blood type. It has his medical history, including the date that the diagnosis was made. It has medications, including the dates. It has surgery, family history, all the names of his doctors, their phone numbers, his pharmacy. It has my name, my number, the date that it was updated. Then I also give him a list of questions. On that list, it has not only his history for the doc to see, it has what we're requesting to have done, what lab work, cholesterol, hemoglobin A1C, we're checking for diabetes, we want your blood counts, we want your electrolytes, we want a urine sample, we want to check your thyroid, whatever. It's written out in addition to his questions. Literally, he will go to the doctor, almost like, as a kid when you had the little note pinned on your shirt, and they love it. His docs absolutely love it because they have a clear, concise history. They know what he's coming in for. They know what needs to be done. And if they have any questions, my number's right there. They can reach out to me as well. In addition to that, here's some of the questions that I always encourage us to ask. Explain what's going on. If I have high blood pressure, explain to me what causes high blood pressure. Explain to me why I, as an African American, am predisposed compared to others. Explain to me the treatment. Is it effective? What's our next steps? What should I expect? And finally, again, know that you can ask your doctor any of your questions. And you can also ask, how can I reach you if I have more questions? And now today, they have all the health apps. You can send a message through My Chart or whatnot to reach your doc. But those are all very important things to be asking your doc. And it's your right to ask your doc. And, a good doctor will be happy to explain so that you understand everything that's going on with you.
So with that in mind, what should we be thinking about when it comes to managing our health? Because it's not just about going to see the healthcare provider, but nutrition plays a big role. Exercise plays a big role. The amount of sleep you're getting. What types of things should we be thinking about when it comes to managing our health overall?
So overall, things I want you to think about and that I always encourage is, one, don't be afraid to go to the doctor, because here are our ancestors. That's another podcast too. Treatment of African Americans and Tuskegee experiment. So there's a fear. There's an inherent fear that is still present in some African Americans. So they don't want to go to the doctor. But I encourage you, go. Ask questions. Educate yourself. Prevention is the key. Prioritize your health. And another little tidbit that a lot of patients don't know, because I was having a conversation about how expensive healthcare is and continues to be, you can request to be on a payment plan. Go to see your specialist and get a bill for hundreds and hundreds of dollars. You can request a payment plan, and it can be customized to you and whatever payment that you can afford. That's something that I don't think a lot of us realize, that is available for us. Also, there are patient advocates in the hospital and even that are covered by some insurance companies. Patient advocates are individuals who can help you to communicate with doctors, who can help you get your records, who can help make appointments for you. some people are fortunate where they have a friend or family who can help with those types of things. But if you don't, even Medicare will pay for a patient advocate in some cases, depending on your plan. And again, the most important thing, because we're taking care of everybody else but ourselves, prioritize your health. Take care of yourself first, because if you don't take care of yourself, you can't take care of anybody else.
Excellent, excellent point. You know, one of the things that I am aware of is that when you are in the hospital for an extended stay, that sometimes the communication from one healthcare professional to another doesn't always take place. And you've got nurses that work different shifts, you got doctors that work different shifts, but sometimes that communication is not seamless. What advice do you have for our listeners to ensure that everyone has the information that they need for your own personal care?
Great question. If you have a patient who may have some memory issues, can't remember certain things, medications, things like that, in that situation, it's definitely an advantage to have a patient advocate. If it's not one appointed by the hospital, have a family member or a friend who can speak on your behalf, who can ask the questions of the doctor, of the nurse, who can also get a copy of your record. If you had some x-rays done that day, again, your records, you have the right to ask for those. That advocate can ask for a copy of that. And it's as simple as the nurse can go on the computer, print it out, you may have to sign a release form, and give it to you. But having someone to help you navigate, you also taking an active part in your health, ask questions. Don't let the doctor make you feel rushed. Take your time, slow down, ask your question. Ask your question until you understand. Because when you understand, you're better able to be compliant with whatever treatment plan and testing, things like that. But if you don't understand, I've often seen where that frustration comes in. And the patient's like, no, I don't want to do that. It doesn't make sense. But if you understand, you can take an active role in your care. If you have that support team, they can also help you. They can reach out to the doctor on your behalf, ask questions, keep notes, things of that nature.
Got one more question for you. I'm going to try and squeeze this in. As a patient, when you aren't satisfied with the care that you're receiving from your medical team, from your doctor, what options do you have as far as, I guess, like reaching out to the healthcare administrator or whoever? How does that work if you have concerns about your care?
Know that you have the right to request another doctor. That is your right. If you'd like to try to stay with the physician, but just maybe navigate a few challenges, and first, I always recommend go to the source. Go to that provider that there are concerns with. Ask for a one-on-one conversation so that you can express your concerns. Ask any other questions you may have. Give your point of view and time to talk. If after that, then you continue to escalate. There is a whole administrative team and board at the hospital and with clinics. You continue to ask. I've seen situations where they've gone to the president of the hospital system because they were so dissatisfied with certain things that were going on with the care of their family member. And again, that is your absolute right. You continue to escalate. Again, I'm always an advocate for trying to afflict one-on-one if we can. I don't like these escalations. It's only if it's absolutely necessary. But again, there are processes in place where all you have to do, tell the nurse the name and number of, even for the nurses, they have charge nurses, for the medical staff. You have a president of the medical staff. You have the CMO, and on and on.
Gotcha. So Kim, again, I really appreciate you just spending some time with us today. You shared a ton of information and knowledge with us. I did want to highlight several points that you made today for our listeners. Number one is that you're responsible for taking charge of your health, and you are the lead person. Nobody's going to lead that charge for you, so we need to take that seriously. Number two, you must maintain a focus on your health. Ensure you are eating well, getting plenty of rest, exercising, and following up with your doctor. And number three, if you see something, if you feel something, say something. So if you feel a lump that's abnormal or something is going on, you're just not feeling quite right, go talk to your doctor and just make sure you get checked out. Kim, I'm going to throw it back to you one more time. Is there any other final thoughts that you have for our listeners before we end the show today?
Prioritize your health. Number one. Prioritize your health. You can't take care of anyone until you take care of yourself first.
Yeah, awesome. It's kind of like, you know, you're on the plane. They say the plane goes down, the mask drop. You got to cover your mouth before you cover your neighbor. So make sure you take care of yourself first. Right.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, Kim, thank you again and be blessed. Really appreciate you spending some time with us today.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate you, James.
Black Corporate Life is a leadership training and development company focused on empowering Black professionals to thrive in corporate America. We provide classes, coaching, and an online community of like-minded individuals to help Black men and women in corporate America reach their full potential. Subscribe to our podcast by visiting blackcorporatelife.com or search wherever you listen to podcasts. And join the Black Corporate Life Alliance at bclalliance.com.